So remind us of the specific questions the court is trying to answer in this case.
There are basically two questions. The first is whether Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage violates the Constitution and the rights of people who want to be married of the same sex. And the second question is dependent on the first question. So if the answer to the first question is that the bans are constitutional, if the court were to uphold the ban in Michigan and in some other states, then the next question is, well, does Michigan nonetheless have to recognize same-sex marriages performed legally in other states where same-sex marriage is legal? And that has a lot of significance for couples who may go to another state to get married or come from a state where same-sex marriage is legal and they move, let's say, to Michigan and they want to adopt there or they want to have their they want to qualify for benefits that may be available for legally married couples. A whole host of benefits that accrue to people who are married, whether of the same sex or not, in the majority of states now in this country, but in some states where it's still illegal, those states at the moment don't recognize marriages from states where they're legal.
So how were the arguments of the plaintiffs and the defendants in this case received by the court?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to know. Certainly, the weight of the evidence is that the court seems to be headed in the direction of legalizing same-sex marriage and striking down those bans. But predicting what the court is going to do is really a hazardous business. And when you looked at the arguments in this case, everybody assumes that Justice Kennedy is likely to be the swing vote, that perhaps Chief Justice Roberts' vote is up for grabs. No one knows. But Kennedy, for example, asked questions that were very skeptical of both sides. He asked, for example, of the advocates for same-sex marriage, you know, we've had marriage between a man and a woman as the only kind of marriage for thousands of years. And maybe for 10 or 20 years, this whole issue has come up. So should we just jump into this? So you really can't tell. It's, as I said, it's a dangerous business to go around predicting Supreme Court outcomes. I've never done it, and it saved me more times than I can tell you.
Do you think it's likely that the Supreme Court's decision in this case will settle this question of the constitutionality of same-sex marriage in the U.S. once and for all? Or do you think new cases will then emerge?
You know, if the court says that there's a fundamental right to marry, including marry somebody of the same sex, I think that'll settle it once and for all. There are other peripheral questions that will come up, but that'll settle the basic question. If, on the other hand, the court upholds the ban on marriage between people of the same sex, I would imagine it to come back, that it will come back, not next year or the next year or in 5 years, but it'll come back in 10 years, 15 years, almost certainly.
Now, Michigan is a state that currently has a ban on same-sex marriage in its constitution. It's also a state that just passed a law that gives faith-based adoption agencies that receive state funding the right to turn away couples based on religious objection to their lifestyle. People said that was pointed directly at same-sex couples. And Michigan also doesn't provide civil rights protections for LGBT people. So is this case just about marriage, or is it about a larger question of how states treat LGBT people?
Well, this case is just about marriage, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect on how states treat LGBT people. The law that just passed in Michigan is not per se about marriage. It's about whether there is a faith-based exception that protects faith-based organizations, adoption organizations, from dealing with and providing adoptions for same-sex couples. Whether that is constitutional is a really very different question from the whole issue of same-sex marriage itself. And I don't know what the landscape is like in Michigan, but I remember that one of the couples that I interviewed for this story, Randy Johnson and Paul Campion in Kentucky, who adopted children beginning 20 years ago, they had a very hard time finding any agency that would deal with them in Kentucky 20 years ago. But eventually they did find one, and they are white. They adopted two African-American children and have since adopted two more mixed-race children. And the plaintiffs in Michigan, April DeBoer and Jane Rouse, have adopted children, some of them mixed race, a couple of them with very serious developmental problems that they've overcome to a significant degree. So people have been able to adopt children, except in states where there was a ban on same-sex couples adopting children. Most of those bans are gone now. But it's never been easy peasy, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. When you think about the breadth of Supreme Court cases you've covered in your career, where does this one stand in terms of its weightiness when you think about how this may play out when we look back on it from a historical perspective?
Well, if you've been around for the last 10 years, you've seen the legal landscape and the cultural landscape change so dramatically that even some of the lawyers who, on both sides, have been just startled by how fast the country has culturally changed on this issue, and certainly generationally changed. So I think eventually the day will come, just as we look back today and we say, how could it be that there were state laws that actually made it a crime for interracial couples to marry? And people were put in jail when they did that. I mean, they were arrested. There were 16 states in 1967 in which interracial marriage was still a crime. There are only 13 left at the moment where same-sex marriage is illegal. I don't think anywhere it's a crime. It's just not recognized. It's illegal. You can't do it. And if the court strikes down bans like the one in Michigan, I suspect the day will come when we look back and say, how come this was ever illegal? On the other hand, there are parts of the country where there is an overwhelming opposition to same-sex marriage, and how long that will hang on, I have no idea. It's very culturally based. It's very faith-based. But it's eroding faster than most people thought it would, and generationally.
Nina Totenberg is the legal affairs correspondent for NPR. Nina, thank you so much.
It's really been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.